El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome to the show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about here from the El Pacifico. Great to have you with us. If you're watching online on Phil TV and HD, we are here beachside, and we were showing earlier, we had the schedule, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, the schedule for the new Milwaukee Lion broadcast with Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison. That's right, we will be carrying those Milwaukee Lion broadcasts on the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference Network. So that'll be happening this season, and it, of course, will be featured on our website, philhendryshow.com. If you don't have a backstage pass, you must have a backstage pass. Also, it's great to have everybody listening to us on radio, and if you want to listen to our episode 25 of our podcast, please hit that up at philhendryshow.com. Just hit that link. Or you can go to iTunes, or you go to Podcast Directory, go to Stitcher. Any one of them will have it. All right, guess what hasn't gone away, and it doesn't look like it's going to be going away. We will have Doug Danger on the line in transit tonight between his office at the Orange County Courier and his home in Santa Ana. As gay rights activists hope to fill Chick-fil-A with kissing couples tomorrow. Now, I thought I printed off the news story, bud.
Yeah, buddy, there's one. Whoa.
Let me hold on. Let me just see this news story. Let's say tomorrow. We're talking about Friday. And as rights activists, the Chick-fil-A protests appear to be just getting started with two new campaigns underway. In one campaign, a woman by the name of Marcy Ault of Atlanta has posted a petition on change.org inviting Chick-fil-A President Dan Cathy to join her family, including her wife and her two children, for dinner. She wants to offer him a firsthand look at a family being hurt by the company's political and social activism against gays and lesbians. So I'm imagining there are gay or lesbian members of her family.
Bill, maybe she's got she's a gay couple.
Yeah.
Or you mean she's part of a gay couple? Yes, could be. The second campaign encourages, now here's the one that we're going to be talking to Doug about, encourages members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community to participate in a same-sex kiss-in on Friday at Chick-fil-A outlets nationwide. A same-sex kiss-in tomorrow nationwide. Now, I know that there have been a lot of people talking about this on the air today. We want to get our two cents in with Doug Danger, who is, as he says, a gay man, a gay journalist. Doug, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Phil. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, you usually don't comment, though you are out, you are gay, you're out, and not only out as an individual, you are very much out as a journalist. You really don't like to talk or report on gay issues.
Well, I think most of the time when you report on gay issues, you report on any issues having to do with the gay community, and you are a gay man, a gay journalist, in my case, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, then you get a little bit, I think, pigeonholed by the news outlet that you work for. And I don't want that ever to happen to Doug Danger. So I've actively and very intentionally avoided talking about gay issues. This is one story where I've decided, and let me tell you, Bill Merling and Dan Carruthers, all of the guys at the paper that you know, Phil, have begged me. I mean, they have begged me over the years to write about gay issues. I said, no, I will not do it because I don't, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I don't want you having me report on gay issues. I want to show that I can do more than that, and I have shown that.
Exactly. But, one other thing, though, that needs to be brought up here is while you don't want to report on gay issues, you are very much vocal about your, homosexuality.
Yeah, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But what has that got to do with me reporting on gay issues? See, because I'm a gay man, because I am a gay journalist, it doesn't necessarily mean that you get to pick me out of the gay bullpen, if you will, and send me out there and have me report on gay issues. Kind of like back in the 60s when all these newspapers found out that they didn't have any black reporters to report on a lot of the urban disturbances and this kind of thing, the rioting that was going on in the 60s, Phil.
Yeah.
And so they found themselves without black reporters, and they had to immediately hire a bunch of black reporters because you couldn't send a white reporter down into some of these areas that were affected by this violence. But guess what happened? Those black reporters got stuck reporting on so-called black issues. And it took them a long time to break out of that and say, well, I'm a black man, but I can report on crime. I can report on other things, too. I can report on science. I can report on politics. I can report like any other reporter. Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but that doesn't mean you get to stick me on the gay stories.
All right, well, but this is a gay story, if you will, that...
Hold on. Don't call... It's not a gay story. It's a human rights story.
But it involves gay people.
It does, but I told the people at the paper I'm not going near this story unless you call it a human rights story. I won't go near it. I won't touch it. I will not write about it unless you call it a human rights story.
All right, we'll call it a human... Do you mind if I use the terms gay here?
I don't mind you using the term, Phil, so long as you don't overdo it, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but I want people to know that I'm reporting on a human rights story.
Oh, I understand that. This story, the kiss-in, you did some surveying today?
I did, yeah.
Tell my audience what you did.
Well, it wasn't much. I went to a couple of Chick-fil-A outlets. I don't want to say which ones, because I to be perfectly honest with you, I had it was a very nice time. I didn't have a problem with anybody, and I don't want to tell people that I was at this or that Chick-fil-A outlet in case those particular outlets take steps to, you know, deny access to reporters or a gay man, a gay journalist like myself, or other gay men and gay journalists like myself, or like themselves, I guess, you know, you want to say it.
All right, but you were at some Chick-fil-A restaurant.
I was at some Chick-fil-A outlets today, and I did a very informal survey. I simply went from table to table, and I asked people, I said, you know, I identified who I was.
So you didn't tell the store management you were there?
No, I didn't do that because I didn't want to intimidate them. I didn't want them to feel like they had to do anything special, and I didn't want to, make a big issue out of it. I just said, hi, I'm a reporter, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay. I didn't mention that I was gay right away. I asked people, what is your opinion about Chick-fil-A and Dan Cathy's stand on gay rights? And some of them said, I support it. Some of them said that I'm against it. And then I asked another question. I said, and what do you think about the kiss-in that the gays, a lot of these gays are going to be planning tomorrow? And some of them said they supported, some of them said didn't.
And what was the result?
Most of them were opposed to Chick-fil-A's, Dan Cathy's opinion. Most people were opposed to Dan Cathy's opinion, Phil, about homosexual marriage, gay marriage. That, to me, that's very telling.
Really?
Absolutely. And then when I asked, what do you think about the kiss-in, most people, I'd say about 70 to 80%, said that they were in favor of it. So, you know, you got to get some honest reporting going on. And
that's very interesting. That's very interesting. That's just you. But that's an informal poll.
That is that, well, informal. But, I'm a reporter. I told them that I was, I told them I was gay eventually, but that was not the initial statement was simply, I'm a reporter with the Orange County Courier. But I did tell him I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist.
When would you say that?
Well, what I wanted to do is find out the depth of their commitment to their opinion, or were they just trying to impress their friends? You know, I had a couple of people say, I support Dan Cathy and I'm opposed to the kiss-in. And when that happens, as a reporter, what you like to do is give them throw in another variable. So I would say to them, is that right? Well, I'm gay. Now what do you think? Okay?
All right. So what did you say?
I would say if they had an opinion opposed to the kiss-in or opposed to Dan Cat, I'd say, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think? Now what's your opinion?
I'm gay. Now what's your opinion?
Yeah. And guess what? Most of them changed their opinion. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they realized by being confronted by a gay man and a gay journalist, that they really were not thinking it through.
Well, you know, Doug, back when the presidential elections were taking place, you were conducting a poll on President Bush, and everybody that said they were voting for Bush, you said the same thing. You said, well, I'm gay, now what do you think?
That's right, yeah.
Don't you find that intimidating?
It's not intimidating to me.
No, but I mean to the people.
I don't know. I don't know if they've got a guilty conscience or not. I told you that I'll go out and cover this as a human rights story. Now, if I walk up to somebody and I say, what do you think of Dan Cathy's opinion? And they say, I support it. And I go, really? Well, guess what? I'm gay. Now tell me what you think of it. Guess what they do? they automatically will say, well, you know something, not automatically, I mean...
Did all of them change their opinion?
I would say most of them did, Phil, yeah.
And you don't think that's intimidation?
Well, hold on, let me just finish what I'm saying. Yes, almost all of them did, and it's because when I looked at them, I said, how do you feel about the kiss-in, and how do you feel about Dan Cathy? And they said, I'm in favor of it, and I said, well, guess what, I'm gay, not tell me what you think. I was really zeroing in on their honesty and challenging them to be moral and honest. And in that instance, most of them would look at me and...
Well, what was your body language? See, one of the things that
Hold on. I'm telling you what I did. I don't know what you're asking me these questions for.
I'm wondering what your body language was. Was it threatening?
No, it wasn't threatening. Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If that threatens people, then I guess I just said to them, I'm gay. Now tell me what your opinion is. This one guy was giving me a little bit of trouble, so I think I used the word big shot. I said, he said, well, I'm in favor of Kathy, and I don't want any of them gays kissing. And I said, well, I'm gay. Now give me your opinion, big shot, like that, you know. And it was pretty funny because he kind of laughed and he looked nervous, and then he came around to my way of thinking. But it's not always like that.
All right, Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier. We'll take a break. Our number 877-876-7445. He conducted a poll today. Ask, and he was at Chick-fil-A's. Now, Doug is an out gay reporter and gay man. He was at Chick-fil-A's asking, what do you think of Dan Cathy's personal philosophy about gay people and gay marriage? And then what do you think of this kiss-in that gay activists are planning? And if they answered, we're in favor of both, he would say, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think of it? I don't know whether that intimidated people or not. I don't know whether that would intimidate you guys listening tonight. Our number is 877-876-7445 as we talk to Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Bill okay. Hendry Show.
877-876. Whoops. Hold on. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We are on the line here with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, who is conducting an informal survey today of Chick-fil-A outlets. You're two Chick-fil-A outlets. I know you don't want me to tell where you were, Doug, but you were essentially asking people what they think of tomorrow's kiss-in.
Well, yeah, that, and also I was asking their opinion of this guy, Cathy, and again, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I don't want to be pigeonholed doing gay issues. When they asked me at the paper to do this story, I said, you can take your gay bride story, and I'm not going to go near it, because I don't want to go near any of those. And the other thing, too, Phil, about gay stories, they draw some people, you know, that have intelligence, but a lot of the people on the other side of the, and I hate to say this, it draws a lot of rednecks. I don't want to talk to rednecks because I wind up, you know, getting into a pushing match with them or...
Well, you're a reporter, and you went to this...
Yeah, I know I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, but what I said to the guy today, for instance, he said, why are you asking me all these questions? I said, because I'm asking you questions. You know, I'm a reporter. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. That's why I'm asking. I said to him, what do you think of it? And he said, well, I'm in favor. I said, well, guess what, big shot? I'm gay. Now what do you think?
Well, you already told him.
Well, I told him later, yeah.
But you hadn't told him.
No, he was just wondering why you asked me questions. Why you had? I said because I'm a reporter and that's what I'm doing, and that, you know, that's all you need to know. While he's sitting there eating his chicken sandwich, which, you know, is going to make me angry. I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and the fact is, this chicken, you know, these chicken eaters. I got to tell you, man, I don't know that a lot of these anti-gay people recognize the propaganda or public relations trap that they walk right into. Because now you can call people that are opposed to the rights of gays chicken eaters. That's what they are. Chicken suckers, you know, chicken stealing, that kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, no, that's kind of that old...
It's old.
That's that old country, chicken stealing and egg sucking. 877-876-7445 on the Phil Hendry Show. Is it Mike? Hello? Well, who do we have on the line here? What's your name, sir? The gentleman on the line, what's your name, sir?
Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah, I don't understand why the gentleman, the caller, feels the need to say that that I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. I mean, I understand
because that's what I am. Because it used to not be okay to say it. And when I say that I'm gay, and I don't mean anything against you, Mike, understand, but when I say I'm gay, that's like saying anybody want to step up to the plate and give me a hard time about it.
No, I'm not.
So you're looking for a
I didn't say you were. I didn't say you were. I said hold on. Now, you got to be quiet and let me finish talking. So I can explain it to you. Okay? You asked me why I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Isn't that what you asked? Isn't that what you asked there, Mike?
Be quiet, please. Please enlighten me.
Okay. Because at one time in this country, if you said you were gay, well, people wanted to step to you, man, with a baseball bat. Now, I go out and I say, I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Anybody want a piece of me? Here I am. See what I'm saying? So I make it easy.
Well, so you're looking for a fight.
No, I'm not looking for a fight. No, I'm not. But I'll tell you what. If somebody wants to step to me now because I say I'm gay, here I am, man. You don't have to go hunting me up. You don't have to go into the gay part of town and go gay bashing. I'm Doug Danger. I'm walking right down the street.
Well, so it's a very confrontational thing. Yes, you may. And I'm having a hard time hearing Mike, and it might be because of Doug's cell phone. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I didn't finish my point.
I want to hear what Mike has to say. Go ahead, Mike.
The point I'd like to make is I'm not arguing with you being a gay man, and God bless you for coming out and saying you're a gay man. I have no problem with that. Be a gay man.
All right, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. That's the point.
Need to say you're a gay journalist.
I just got done telling you. Did you ever see that movie Cool Hand Luke, Mike? Remember that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it.
In the movie. You remember when George Kennedy says to Paul Newman, he says, maybe we ought to call it No Ears? Now, I don't want to call you No Ears, but I just got done telling you, and now you're asking me.
Don't be insulting to this man.
Okay.
Finish your question, Mike. It's a good question. You're asking, why are you.
Explanation as to why you feel the need. Why you feel the need. To point out you are a gay journalist. I drive a truck for a living.
Answered your question. I just answered your question, and you didn't even listen to me. You want me to give you the respect of listening to you, but you didn't listen to me. See, now that makes me mad right there.
Well, all right, can I?
No, I just told a guy.
Hold on. I guess what he's saying, Mike, is this. It used to be, not safe to say you're gay. In America, I guess.
It wasn't safe.
Okay, fine. So now you say you're gay in case anybody wants to challenge you. Is that it?
In case anybody's got a problem with someone being out, yeah.
So it's kind of like you're walking around.
So why do you feel so threatened in this day and age? The president has even come out and said that he believes.
But how come you don't like it? See, that's why. Because we still got guys.
I don't like it.
If I go into Chick-fil-A tomorrow and I say, I got my gay friend here. I think I'm going to give this guy a deep French tongue kiss. Somebody's going to have a problem with that. But, let's rock and roll.
All you're going to do. Okay, Mike, thank you. Your phone is a little tough to hear, Mike, but I do appreciate your phone call. 877-876-7445. You're saying here, Doug, and I
I don't want you to paraphrase for me what I'm saying. What I'm saying is...
No, I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm telling you. I'm not going to paraphrase. I understand what you're saying, but you're getting off the point here. We're talking about Chick-fil-A.
That guy got off the point. He wanted to know how come I'm saying I'm gay. I'm saying I'm gay in case anybody's got a problem with Doug Danger. And when I go out tomorrow to the Chick-fil-A kiss-in, and I'm not going to be out there kissing nobody. I'm going to be out there... reporting on this, okay? But I can tell you, if someone's got a problem, you come out and you say you're gay.
Look, those people that are going to go and have a kiss in at a Chick-fil-A restaurant, they're coming out and saying they're gay. They're not hiding it from anybody, are they?
No, they're not.
Okay. So there are times and places, I guess, where that stuff happens.
That stuff?
Well, all right, but...
Every day of my life, Phil, I'm out there saying I'm gay. Somebody want to, step up to, here's the plate. There's no umpire, but I promise you I'll be fair with the balls and strikes, if you pardon the expression. I'm gay. Step up to the plate. You know, see if you can hit my slider.
Okay, 877-87, I don't know about that term, 877-876-7445.
Talk about a slider. Yeah, probably have to get a jump.
All right, shut up. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger on tomorrow's Chick-fil-A Kiss-In. And just exactly what you think of that.
Phil Henry.
I don't care what they think of it.
Famous Bill Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about tomorrow's Chick-fil-A Kiss-In and other, you know, things that are planned by gay activists. And then, of course, there was the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. And, Doug, you're an out gay man and you're an out gay journalist. You just heard that one gentleman ask you, why you are prefacing just about every comment with gay man and gay journalist.
You know, Phil, I've been on your program so many times explaining this that it begins to irritate me a little bit.
No, I know that you've explained it to me, but that guy didn't know.
It begins to irritate me when people keep saying the same thing. Why do you call yourself gay? Why do you call yourself gay? I call myself gay in case there's any mistake, in case anybody thinks that, and plus I'm proud. And I want people to know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, but when you walk up to somebody at Chick-fil-A...
Look, we had this discussion already. You know,
no, we not. Recently, we haven't.
Well, we had it during the Bush election.
Well, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on for a minute. When you walk up to someone at Chick-fil-A, and you say to them, hi, what do you think about tomorrow's kiss-in? And they say, I'm opposed to it.
Right. Then I tell them. I'll say, I'm gay.
You say, I'm gay. Now what do you think of it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think they're going to answer to that?
I think they're going to be honest. I thought people were honest about their feelings when it comes to these things. You're expecting me to say that I hope they're intimidated by me. Why would they want to be intimidated by me if they feel strongly about how they feel?
All right, what if you said to them, well, I'm gay, now how do you feel about it? And they said, I still feel the same way.
That has never happened, I'll tell you that.
Well, what if?
I don't deal in hypotheticals, Phil, I'm sorry.
You don't deal in hypotheticals. If you walked up to me, can you just kind of role play this?
No, Phil, you do the psychodrama thing. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in hypotheticals.
You don't want to answer the question because you don't know what you would do.
No, that's not true. All right, go ahead. I know exactly what I would do.
All right, go ahead. You're the reporter.
You want me to psychodrama this?
Yes, we'll do the Phil Hendry psychodrama.
I don't particularly endorse this kind of theater because I don't think it's really helpful. But all right, if I walked up to you, Phil, I'd say, hi, I'm Doug Danger, the Orange County Courier. What do you think about tomorrow's kiss-in?
I'm against it.
Yeah? You're against it?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess what?
What's that, sir?
I'm gay. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist.
Well...
Hold on. I haven't finished what I'm saying. Hold on. See, right away, you interrupting me, that just negates the vote. Because it shows that you're prejudiced against me.
How does that work?
It works. I just got done telling you. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. Now what do you think of tomorrow's kiss-in?
I'm still against it.
You heard what I said, right?
I heard that you said you're gay.
Yeah. And you are going to tell me that you're against it even though you're talking to a gay man and a gay journalist. Why are you in favor of gay bashing?
Wait a minute. Now what you're doing...
No, hold on, man. You asked me what I would do if someone disagreed with me.
Yeah, okay, and now I'm going to comment on that. What you're doing is, what you're doing...
Yeah, what am I doing? Go ahead.
You are accusing me of gay bashing even though I gave you an opinion.
I'm just saying, you're gay bashing in the face of a gay man and a gay journalist, in the face of a gay protest, and you're still against it, so I have to mark your vote down as a non-vote because it's a bigoted vote. Do you understand, Phil? I don't think the votes count if they come from a bigot.
Who determines if the individual's a bigot? You do, right?
Yeah, of course I do. No, there's a newsflash. Hey, way to go. Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, so in other words, if I disagree, if I say that I'm opposed to tomorrow's kiss-in at the, you know, Chick-fil-A, and you say, well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, now what do you think about it?
I don't do it like that. I simply say to them, if you say no, I say, well, guess what? Here's a newsflash for you. I'm gay. Now how do you feel about it?
All right. Well, it's the same thing.
No, I think one is one and the other is the other. And I would say to them, I'm gay. And they say, well, I'm still in favor of it. I say, well, it's obvious that you're bigoted because in the face of a gay man and a gay journalist, you've just gotten done telling me that you are not in favor of it. So your vote is a non-vote. It's the vote of a bigot. It's the vote of a virulent, dyed-in-the-wool, organic bigot. And
as such, you throw it out.
Yeah, you have to throw it out. You have to throw it out. You cannot keep that vote in because otherwise it's not really a vote. It's coming from perhaps years and years and years of bigotry, a bigoted upbringing. Perhaps there's genetic problems. I don't know. You know, Phil, this is the point of the conversation.
No, this is the point of the conversation where I never do quite understand what you're talking about.
I'm being as clear as I can be. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist, okay? Okay, Phil?
Yes, I know that.
All right, and here's the point of the conversation where you get irritated because I've stood up and I've said, I'm standing up to be counted. I'm gay. Tomorrow at that Chick-fil-A kiss-in or whatever they want to have, I'm going to tell people that I'm there to cover the kiss-in. And if they say, well, are you gay, I'll say, why are you asking me a stupid question like that when I already told you I'm a gay man and a gay journalist? You see what I'm saying?
I thought you said you were not telling people that you were gay.
That was during the poll. When I'm polling people, I ain't going to tell them. Then afterwards, I'll say I'm gay. Tomorrow, I'm just going to be reporting on a kiss-in.
All right, 877-876-7445 with Doug Danger here and the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking about this Chick-fil-A kiss-in tomorrow. Here is Vernon up in Altadena at Belmar Academy. How you doing, Vernon?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil. I'm very fascinated by your guest tonight. We've talked before, Mr.
My name's Danger, Doug Danger.
Yeah, Mr. Danger, we've talked before. Now,
I don't mean to prejudice you. Are you this redneck I talked to?
I'm not a redneck. All right, I come from Texas, but I'm a school teacher. And
this gentleman is a high school teacher.
Oh, you're a high school teacher. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and but this really doesn't have anything to do with high school. This has to do with me going into Chick-fil-A tomorrow. And let's say I've got a little tiny kid with me, maybe my nephew or maybe my niece. Or something like that. Or my wife, who is a good deal younger than me.
Okay.
Okay, so you see the setup now. I'm walking in there. And
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to kiss?
Can I finish what I'm saying? I'd like to say what I'm going to say without having you tell me what I'm going to say.
All right, let's let him finish.
Go ahead.
If I walk into the Chick-fil-A tomorrow and I've got my daughter, I've got my young niece or whoever... And
you don't have a daughter, though.
All right, see right there. You don't have. Phil just said you don't have a daughter.
Mr. Henry, it doesn't make any difference if I have a daughter.
I'm sorry.
I'm just giving the man a hypothetical.
Yeah, but if you have a, do you have a daughter?
No, I don't. I've got a niece and I've got a wife who's 30 years younger than me.
All right, how old are you?
I'm 55, so that makes my wife 25.
And she's an adult.
She may be an adult, but she's very. Yeah, can I finish, Mr. Henry, what I'm saying?
Go ahead.
Because this man, I recognize the tactic right away. I've been in debates, and I've been in some political debates, and I recognize the tactic.
What's the tactic, sir? Tell me what the tactic is.
The tactic is this, confusing propaganda, and let me just finish. So if I go into the Chick-fil-A tomorrow, and I see you or any of your friends, as you said, lip-locking or a deep French tongue kiss, I think is what you said, and you're going to say to me you're gay.
No, I'm not going to do it then, sir. I think why would I tell you I'm gay if I'm in the middle of a deep French kiss with my partner?
Well, didn't you tell me that you're going around saying you're gay?
I didn't tell you anything, sir. You called up here and...
What are you referencing, Vernon?
What am I I'm referencing what I've been listening to this guy do over the last 45 minutes, telling everybody that calls in that you're gay.
Right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I explained that to that one guy.
Okay, when I come into that restaurant, are you going to tell me you're gay?
Only if I talk to you, and if I'm doing the story, I'm going to be reporting on the story. I don't think I need to tell you
that I'm gay. I probably will if I ask you a question, but I probably wouldn't ask you a question. Why not? Because you're prejudiced against straights. No, because you sound like the kind of guy that's going to give me a song and a dance. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. You know, I've heard you now. That's got to be the 200th time you've said that. And, well, that's what I am. But I get to the... I've got to talk to people who are going to be forthcoming with me and not someone who tends to be a little rednecky. You see? I'm not rednecky. I am simply going into the restaurant to get a chicken dish and or a chicken dinner. If I take my wife in there to get two chicken dinners and I'm looking at you and you're making out, okay? You've never seen two people make out before. I've seen a man and a woman make out, sir. While I'm eating, if I treat my wife to a chicken dinner, and boy, big spender here, Phil, you know.
All right, let's let the guy talk, okay?
Well, you really got a pair on you. You're a gay man.
That's right.
You're a gay man and a gay journalist, and you're calling me a cheap creep because I take my wife out for a chicken meal.
Sir, if you're going to eat chicken, in the words of Willie Dixon, you know, you got to go through, well, I better not say.
In the words of Willie Dixon, I happen to know who you're talking about. Willie Dixon was a blues singer.
That's right. And when he said he eats more chicken than any man ever seen, he wasn't talking about Chick-fil-A.
Well, I'm talking about Chick-fil-A. This guy is...
Let's be respectful. You're going to talk about the guy's wife that way?
I'm not talking about the guy's wife. This guy said that he takes his wife out for a chicken meal.
Yes, sir. And what's wrong with that?
Are you the only one?
You know what I would do? I'll tell you, I'm going to make a promise to you.
Doug, don't be disrespectful.
Come on.
The guy left me. He left it wide open. I had to say something.
You know what? I left it wide open. You know what I'm going to do when I come into the chicken... into this chicken place tomorrow, and I probably won't be in the one you're in, but if I am, I will walk up to you and say, hi, I'm Vernon Dozier, and I'm a straight man and a straight school teacher. I'm here with my wife, and yes, I'm treating her to a chicken meal. And what are you going to say to that?
I'm going to say, are you the only guy that's been... Well,
oh, man, and what are you going to do when I hit you so hard your head comes off your shoulders and rolls down the street? Forget it.
All right, 877-877-6745. Obviously, that man upset Doug, and I don't blame him when you bait him like that.
Oh, wait a minute. I think that's very unfair. How did I bait this guy? You know,
when you say to the guy that, are you the only one eating chicken, and you're clearly referencing his wife...
Well, no, I was not. I was trying to say to this man... You're bringing your wife into a Chick-fil-A for a chicken meal, as he put it, on the one day of the year that gays are going to be in there lip-locking, deep French-kissing, you know. I mean, what's his problem, you know? Of course I'm going to interview him, and of course I'm going to tell him I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and of course he's going to be upset with that. Why? Because he brought his wife in on kiss-in day to get a chicken dish? You know, and that's why I made the joke that I did.
All right, we'll be back with Doug Danger and more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445 on Kiss-In Day tomorrow. Doug Danger's going to be there reporting on it. And there'll be a lot of gay people there. I don't know how many Chick-fil-A's will be affected, but I imagine if there are Chick-fil-A's within gay communities across this country, there's going to be a lot of gay folks in there having themselves a chicken meal and a kiss. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You know, this is very unfair.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here on the line, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier, talking about tomorrow's kiss-in at the Chick-fil-A's across the country. Do you have any idea how many Chick-fil-A's are actually going to be invaded by gay people?
No, Phil, I have no idea, because I told you, I don't report on gay issues. I report on all news, and I'm only reporting on this because it's a human rights issue, all right? Now, you know...
Well, you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because that's what I am. I'm a gay journalist. And why is that so hard to understand?
Well, all right, I'm just asking. You said you don't want to report on gay issues. It would seem logical that that would be something you do.
No, it's not logical. I've told my bosses, and I've told very clearly my bosses at the Courier, I said, Don't put me on gay issue stories. Put me on just regular stories. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. But if I find that you guys have decided to just put, you know, the gay reporter on gay stories, basically what you've done is you've queered me. What we call in my trade, the gay men, gay journalists I work with, it's called being queered. And that's when you're put into a little cubbyhole and you're told, okay, we're going to go get you and we got gay. No way. Okay, I told them. I said, man, I'll tell you, if you don't want to find a shoebox in your car, you know.
Whoa, man, Doug.
Well, you know, I was being facetious.
Good God. I mean, that's a violent threat.
No, it's not. I'm being facetious.
If I heard you say to me, I'm going to put a shoebox in your car.
What?
Take it serious.
So your homophobia now extends to you think I'd put a shoebox in your car?
If you told me that, yeah, why should I think any different just because you're gay? Ah, see?
No, because you think the gay guy's violent, that's why.
No, I think the gay guy's like anybody else. Maybe he's got a screw loose, and he's going to blow my car up. 877-876-7445. Keisha, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger. Go ahead, please. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show here on the line with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we are talking about this kiss-in tomorrow. You putting a shoebox in my car or anybody's car?
I'm not putting a shoebox in anybody's car, okay? All I'm doing is I am taking my professional opinion to the story that I'm covering. If I say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, that just simply means I'm gay. But if I want to cover human rights, that's what I want to cover. Don't put me on a gay story.
Yeah, but why are you threatening people with shoeboxes?
Because I told these two guys they're not going to do that to me. Understand, they're not doing it to me.
877-876-7445. Let's go over to RC and Altadena. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Well, the only question I have is because I'm in a military academy, sir, and about the gays in the military.
What about them?
Well, do you think that gays in the military will be, you know, I mean, if you're a gay man and a gay journalist, and people are opposed to gays being out at the chicken rally or whatever it is.
There's no chicken rally, kid. Okay, it's a kiss-in, you know, at Chick-fil-A.
No, I know that, but I mean, it's in a lot of ways it's an expression of gays.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Does it extend to do it, in your opinion, does it extend to gay rights in the military?
Yeah, I think gays ought to be in the military, but I don't like to talk about it. See, that's the thing. You're bothering me now.
Yeah, well, you said you don't want to talk about gay rights. You just did.
That's right, because you called up and purposefully led me down that path. All right? And I'm trying to be polite.
Well, but I mean, you know, in the military academy, I'm taught to be true to your principles, and you weren't true to your principles.
Yeah, I was true to my principles to this point. I want to be true to my principles by being polite. And if you ask me a question about gays in the military, I'll give you an answer. But I'm not going to cover that story, okay? I'm not covering a story about gays in the military because I don't do gay issues. I do human rights issues. I do news stories that are relevant to human beings, but I don't do gay issues.
Well, don't you feel, though, that you've compromised your opinions? And
no, I don't feel I did that at all, no.
I think you've got a good point here, though, R.C.
I think you got a good point here, R.C. Boy.
Why are you mocking Mr. Hendry?
Because he's kissing up to you.
The kid's got a good point, okay? He's saying that if you are commenting on a gay issue, you're commenting on a gay issue.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were. You were talking about gays in the military.
Yeah, you were. You said that you felt that there'd be gays in the military.
Well, first of all, Mr. Henry, the kid called up with a very typical, just like that guy said that I was doing a propaganda dance, this kid calls up with a propaganda dance that is very, very typical. Okay?
Well, what was that?
What he did was he started out by mischaracterizing what we're doing tomorrow.
I said that it was a chicken rally.
You said, are you going to go out to the chicken rally? And I told you it wasn't no chicken rally. It is a kiss-in.
But I didn't do it on purpose. I did it because I didn't know what else to call it.
You call it a kiss-in.
So what if he called it a chicken rally? What difference does that make? Why does that affect what you guys are doing?
Okay, here we go again. You guys got me bunched in with every hairdresser that's going to be out.
No, I do not. I do not. All I'm when I said you guys, I meant gay people.
Yeah, you got me bunched in with every hairdresser known to mortal man.
No, I'm just trying to find out what you feel about gay in the military, and you did answer, and then you said no, you didn't.
I don't even know what your point is, kid. But I will not be lumped in with every hairdresser, interior decorator, and all those other stereotypes that you and Mr. Hendry have tried to put on me and others have tried to put on me down through the years. I'm gay. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. I believe in gays in the military. And I will not comment on it anymore. Okay, kid?
Well, all right, but I'm glad that you do, because I agree with you, but also I think that, you know, it is a chicken rally in a lot of ways because you're going out there to lick chicken and...
Okay, dump that, kid. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back. Phil, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So Doug Danger's going to be out there at the kiss-in tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's, you want to get a chicken sandwich?
Sure, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be, but the issue has gotten bigger and it's gotten more emotional and like that. And
well, how do you stand on it?
You know how I stand on it. You know how I stand on it. I'm in favor of gay rights. I think that, I'll tell you one thing, though. That this guy, Emmanuel, and this guy in Boston, what's the guy's name in Boston? Marino, is that his name? I don't know, and I don't care. But these two guys have handed these anti-gay people a public relations victory. I mean, they couldn't have been stupider if they wanted to be by saying, we're going to try to keep Chick-fil-A out of these neighborhoods.
Yeah, they're just trying to protect people from the influence of gay.
Oh, get out of here, will you, bud?
What are you talking about, influence of gay? No, I'm not saying I agree with it.
Oh, the influence of the gays. What they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the Chick-fil-A out of there because they agree with gay rights. Okay?
Well, who's in favor of the gays?
Well, you read a newspaper, man. I'm not going to sit here and go through it again with you.
You don't even know, man. We've been talking about this for days.
Yeah, well, I was doing something else.
What?
I was oiling the new refrigerator.
Oiling the new refrigerator. Well, why don't you go... What do you mean, oiling the new refrigerator?
It says in a book that you gotta oil the hinges on an refrigerator.
Man, you can do that anytime. To have to do it during the show.
I'm not doing it during the show.
No, you're doing it when you ought to be reading a newspaper and figuring out what the hell is going on around here. Oiling the refrigerator. 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're going to take Bobby Dooley here and possibly Steve and maybe even Margaret as we talk a little bit here about about the Olympics that we've been watching and these young people that have been going for the gold. I know that Margaret, at one point when she was reporting on the Iraq War, she was in Rome, Italy. And we gave you a little bit of a hard time about that, Margaret. Isn't that right? You remember when you were...
I was at the Spanish Steps, yes.
And but you were claiming to be in Iraq.
No, I was. Oh boy, you really got that wrong, didn't you?
No. All right, okay. You were claiming to be covering the Iraq War.
Yes, that's exactly right. I was claiming to be covering the Iraq War. I did not say I was in Iraq.
Well, why were you doing it from Rome?
I was doing it from Rome because. Do we have to go through this again?
Yes. Why were you doing it from Rome?
Well, why are we doing this now?
Because you claim to be covering the Olympics, and you haven't even left California.
Boy, that is really, really unfair of you. That was something that I wasn't going to mention. That not even our friend Francesca Dicklin knew that. And for you to say that...
Okay, so in other words, you are covering the Olympics from California, you're going to tell people you're in London?
You know what, Henry? I don't even know what to say. That is an absolute betrayal of trust. And
Are you trying to tell me that you were going to cover the Olympics in London and not even leave California?
That is an absolute betrayal. Talk to him.
I'm sorry, Phil. It's Frank.
You know what? What did I say that was wrong?
I just called her she, so that the therapy must be working.
Good for you, Frank.
Yeah, I have that gender confusion. Wait a second. I just saw Jason J. Delmonico. I was talking about her. Now
talking about us. All right, thank you very much. 877-876-7445. So that's the extent of that conversation we're having with Margaret here tonight. So let me get on the line. Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association will be discussing with them tonight's not only the Olympic competition in general, but tonight's medal rounds here having to do with the gymnasts. And Bobby, I know that you had sent out a flyer today at the Homeowners Association and one to your parent-teacher organization having to do with tonight's gymnastics. Tell me about it.
Well, thank you very much, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program. We are very concerned by the gymnastics event because it is something... Can you turn that down, Steve? We've got some people over, too. They're watching this, which is fine. We have nothing against watching the Olympics. But increasingly, the focus on gymnastics, with particular regard paid to the female gymnastics, I think does a disservice to American women. And the reason why I say that, Phil, is we're very proud of the young ladies that are on our gymnastics team, but they are setting, I suppose you could say it's a standard, I think they're being compared to the rest of American women from the standpoint of fitness, from the standpoint of skin tone, from the standpoint of muscle tone. And when the Olympics are eventually over with, we are left as American women with this standard that we are supposed to match. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't even think it's a standard that we are expected to match. I think we are seen in a very negative light for a great many months until the country gets it out of their system. And the work that I do as a woman, toning, working out, walking, and doing the things that I try to do to keep myself in shape, and I'm not really talking about myself because I don't see this happening to me, but I see it happening to other women, that suddenly they become very saggy, they become very flabby, their skin is looser, they are uglier. They are uglier is the word that I want to use.
And all right, let me interrupt Bobby, and again, thank you for joining us, Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley. Steve, you there?
Yeah, right here, man. Give my wife a chance.
Okay, hold on. You say you don't have this problem.
No, I don't, only because I work very hard on how I look, my appearance, on my physical fitness, my muscle tone, and so forth. But I don't think there's a lot of women that really are like that.
Well, okay, what women are not like you and are being compared unfavorably to the Olympic gymnasts?
Well, I think just about any woman that is into yoga, for instance. Yoga is wonderful. But when you compare a woman who has been doing yoga to one of these Olympic gymnasts, it becomes almost sad. And I said that to Janice and to Carsey Johnson Taylor, who's one of my very dear friends and is also on the board with me. I said, your yoga is marvelous. But when I look at you compared to these little fireplugs that are dancing around on our television set, again, let's emphasize skin tone, muscle texture, muscle tone, firmness. These women, however old they may be, and a lot of them are in their 30s, so they're already starting with one foot in the bucket, I guess, their yoga leaves them looking haggard. I think it leaves them looking hag-like, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, in the terms of
Well, why wouldn't that be derogatory? You know.
No, I don't mean hag, like as in a.
You're not talking about looking like a wimp. Come on, just that kind of haggy.
I think what they call a haggy-looking face or a hanky-looking face, that kind of thing. It is unfair what's done to American women. It's unfair every Olympic season to see these toned, firm, and healthy young bodies. And then 30-something women go out and do yoga, or even if they're doing weight training, they're never, ever going to do the kind of weight training that produced these kinds of women. And every year they get more fit.
All right, we're talking with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Parent Teacher Organization and Homeowners Association about the gymnastics. Here we are again with the gymnastics, although I have to say it's popular.
Well, yeah, and everybody watches it.
Everyone watches it. You're saying something that I've never heard before. You're saying that the gymnastics on television, the female gymnasts, always set a standard for physical beauty and fitness that American women can't hope to live up to.
That is correct, yes. And I think it's very sad. When I look at a lot of the women that I know here at Western States and in some of the other homeowners associations who are working as hard as they can, but still come up very short in just in terms of body shape, I think when you look at one of these gymnasts and then you look at the average American woman, say, 30 to 35 years of age, it's sad. It really is sad. And
what is sad about it?
It's just sad. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, be specific.
Well, you want me to be specific? I mean, their muscle tone, their skin is sagging. It's discolored. Yoga does not give you firmness and the firm, nice, you know, body that you want. Yoga simply makes you, I don't know what Steve said the other day.
Well, you almost look like one of them. You had no...
The Ethiopians, people that have not had a lot to eat. You look a lot like, I hate to say this, like an AIDS patient.
You're talking about yoga?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I've never seen anybody who's into yoga look like that.
Oh, I do. And they look very, very sickly.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445 has the gymnastics. Every 4 years, the female gymnasts in particular set an unfair standard for American women to have to match up to. They are toned, and they are firm, and they are muscular, and they're athletic, and they are all of the things that no woman can hope to look like, especially women that are practicing yoga or some low-impact exercise. Even Ms. Dooley used the term hagged out or hagged up. 877-876-7445, the world-famous... Phil Henry Show. Will be right back with Bobby and Steve Dooley and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, hold on.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. What did I just say? 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line from the Western States Homeowners Association talking tonight about the Olympics and the gymnastic competition. Bobby, you comment an awful lot on our show about issues relative to women's health, women's fashion, and now you're saying that the gymnastic competition on television sets up an unfair standard for American women. Are you asking that the gymnastics on TV be taken off of TV?
No, Phil, I would never, ever say that. But what I am saying is that the American women need to be given a little bit of a break. I think what we have to say to the country is... Yes, these girls are athletic and they're beautiful. The average American woman can never, ever hope to be as fit as these girls. The average American woman can never hope to be as, I guess, as pleasing to the eye, if you will, that these girls are.
As pleasing to the eye. Now, isn't that something that we could have a discussion about? Isn't that something that has to do with, you know...
If you're going to start it with beauty's only skin deep, Phil, yes, of course, but you and I both know that that's not really the case. the fact that...
Well, wait. See, I don't understand any of this. You're telling me that the American woman is being told, give it up. You're never going to look as good as any of these little gymnasts. You're never going to look as beautiful. You're never going to be as toned. And I came back with, isn't that denying a woman the right to be beautiful to someone who may think she's beautiful?
Well, I think you ran a long way for that one, Phil.
Yeah, but we're saying it. If you're saying beauty's only skin deep, you know?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm saying beauty's only skin deep.
Yeah, we're trying to tell American women that, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, okay, sure, whatever you want to say, you know.
You know, the thing that I want to comment on right now is the parents of this one gymnast in the audience there looking with their heads buried in their hands like they can't stand it, like they're, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there's this one little lady from the United States, this Alexandra Raisman, who I think is waiting for a score, and her parents had buried their faces in their hands as if she had just, shamed the family.
Well, what was her score?
I don't know, but I'm looking at... this one gal who's looking very upset. There's another girl that had tears in her eyes. Maybe this girl did not post the best score in the world, but you're looking at the parents. And
so I'm looking at one of the Russian girls right now who is on the floor exercise, and she looks wonderful. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are you watching the NBC coverage?
Hey, watch it.
See if I got it. Yes, I am, Phil.
Okay. Did you not see the American girl just a moment ago who was looking up at the score and was looked in distress and her parents?
No, I did not. I did not see that. I'm looking at a young girl from Russia. Now, if you're worried that the Russian girls are going to bury our American girls, I don't know what to tell you. I think they do that every Olympics. We have to worry about the Russians. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that your problem with American gymnasts being so fit that they set up an unfair standard for American women, why can't we just enjoy these Olympics? Right now there's a drama going on, you know.
Whether or not this girl's going to win?
Yeah.
She's already won, Phil.
Yeah, that's our point, Mr. Henry. She's already won. She's toned, textured, and fit.
Yeah, she is toned. I didn't say textured. She's toned. She's fit. There's texture, but she's not textured. She's not textured.
Well, she's toned and she's fit.
She's toned and she's fit, so what?
They've already won. No one is looking at the score, necessarily. They're looking at how lovely these girls are. But the tragedy, Phil, the tragedy, is that they're also looking at a physical standard that they're never going to reach in their lives. The tragedy is they're looking at girls that they're never going to be as lovely as.
All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Karen, Karen Deauville. Hi, Karen, how you doing?
Oh, Phil, I'm having a good time listening to you tonight. I really am. I know I sound like a broken record. I just love listening to you, and I hope you never go off the air. Is this Bobby? Yeah, is this Bobby? This is Karen. Bobby, hi. Hello. She sounds very prim and proper.
Hello, Don Deauville.
Okay, I'll make it really quick, okay? Yes, that would be nice. I'd appreciate that. Who is that in the background? Oh, that's my brother. He's my brother-in-law. He is my brother-in-law. That's Jerry. Jerry, say hello.
Hello there, Miss Dilly.
Yeah, I don't want to speak. Okay, I'm sorry. I want to ask you a question. I really don't want to admit this. Phil, is it okay if I get my weight on the air?
Hey, no, watch out about that. That might be obscenity talk. FCC!
I hope you feel. Is it against the FCC?
No, it's not against the FCC if you give your weight on the air.
Can I say something?
Yes, Ms. Dooley.
I really would rather take a phone call. Well, she's getting prissy again. I'm not being prissy. Sorry, I'm very, very sorry. I just wanted to ask you something. Because you sound like you know what you're talking about in terms of fitness for women. I am... Are you overweight? Are you fat? Yeah, well, yes. You know something, honey? I am. I'm fat. And my husband loves it, though. I don't ask me why, but he does.
I love that. Man, I love it. Get my sister. Don't talk about her.
Did you tell those two people, boys, you know how boys are. Take a lock, just like Mama does.
All right, I'll take a lock. God will.
Okay. Yes, I am overweight, and, but you said your husband loves it. Oh, yeah, well, you know how they are, but I was wondering if you know about physical fitness. Do you know about physical fitness? I know a little bit about physical fitness. Help. God, please help me.
Mr. Henry, you've been my wife, Casey.
All I want to do, Mr. Henry, is ask a question.
All right, honey, ask the what is your question?
My question is, oh, my God, why are they crying? Oh, my God, are they crying because they lost? Are they crying?
What's going on right now?
Well, hold on. The gymnastic girls have butchered it alive. They butchered it up. They have lost. And
they have butchered it alive. I'm seeing, aren't these tears of joy?
No, they are not tears of joy. They have carved a new ass. Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh,
carved a new ass.
That little girl's giving a thumbs up. She's happy.
No. Look at this one here. This is the Russian.
She's an American.
Of Russian descent.
There's another one that's smiling. I don't know if that's a Russian, yeah. Okay, so what's the point here?
Well, I was going to ask her how I lose weight. I don't want to talk to you right now. Oh, my goodness gracious, aren't you something? All right, well, I don't want to talk to some fat. All right.
Thank you very much, Karen. I apologize.
No. Don't you apologize. You make me feel so good. I just love listening to your program, Phil.
All right, thank you very much. And I'm looking here. Gabby Douglas has won the gold medal. She is, she's the gold medal winner. I think the second and third place finishes were for Russians. I don't think they were Americans. We'll double check. But there she is, the winner in the women's gymnastics. And is that what you're saying?
I am saying, well, what happened to the Russian?
Who's the Russian?
What a piece of...
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
I called that.
No, goodbye, Karen.
Phil Hendry.
I'm talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley here, and we were discussing the parents in the crowd here. I guess they were the parents of that young lady, Raisman, who did not win a medal. It didn't look like it, and they looked very disappointed.
Well, Phil, I can understand, why do you train the child? And you got a kid here that's good at the gymnastics, and she goes to the Olympics, and... suddenly she looks terrible. The entire family is obviously affected by that. And
so you're feeling ashamed for your own daughter?
Yes, you're feeling ashamed. So you're feeling, if you put the kind of work into some kid that a lot of these parents do, Phil, then you would be disappointed as well.
All right, 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Here is James. Go ahead, James. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, about the gymnastics. There's girls and men from all over the world, and most of them are teenagers. Now you can get fit and working out and stuff. You know, everybody can't win. You know, you might have a good day or off day, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you are there. That doesn't make your parents feel bad.
Hey James, have you got a radio turned up? James, you got your radio turned up?
Yeah.
Is your radio turned up, sir? Turn it down for me, will you?
Well, I understand what the gentleman's saying, but
you can't. You can't say what you're saying about them being fit and stuff. They're in training. Most teenagers that's in any kind of sports, they're gonna be toned and fit until they're 20.
What does it do to other
when
women?
Start falling
what about
up.
What about other women? What about women
other women
like my age?
That's other women. Who? That's on them. They chose a lifestyle they wanted to perceive and something they. I fall in love to improve their self.
It makes women my age look flabby,
No, it don't. It doesn't make you look flabby. That's up to you to keep your body in shape and your mind in shape.
That's well, see, here's the thing, James.
It sounds like,
right,
it sound like
point,
you're jealous of some young kids because they're in shape and you're not.
What, isn't that what
you
we're talking about, Bobby?
You got to take up on yourself to get yourself in
well,
shape.
Well, first of all, James, I'm not jealous because I keep myself in shape.
All right,
I'm talking about the overwhelming majority of American women who are forced every 4 years to look at these in shape,
they
textured,
not
toned.
They're not forced.
Mm-hmm.
That's
well,
not,
they sort of are. I mean,
they're not forced. Because they choose
well,
to look at them.
Have you ever heard of a Wheaties box? Hello?
What do you mean a Wheaties box?
If you go to see the Wheaties box, every time you see it, there's some girl with a firm,
now, and
you know what?
The man, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I know.
That's just not only women, it's men, too. So you might as well put everybody in the same thing. You're not going to be the same. Like, if you, 4 years from now, they're not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm concerned.
But it's up to you to keep yourself
with how ugly a lot of women look.
How ugly a lot of women. Did you hear what she just said? She said how what women look ugly.
What women look ugly?
A lot of women.
All women are beautiful. And I have said all women and all people are beautiful.
Except after the Olympics. After the Olympics,
That's where you're wrong.
Boy, Bobby, you know, the thing that I find interesting here, everybody is fat and ugly except for you, Bobby.
No,
after the Olympics, a lot of them stay in shape because they have different tournaments. Different championships they want to go to, and
but
they want to improve.
The
if they lost,
the average American woman, looks
not
like
only,
a fat
not only women,
it's cool
for men too. You got young boys and young women. All right.
What do you
football
mean, young
players,
boys?
Basketball players, tennis players, all kind of people.
Why are you talking about young boys?
It's a variety of people that be trying to get to a higher level, the next plane. And that's the way they perceive somebody.
What civil rights are you talking about?
He didn't say civil rights.
So, well, that's what I want to do.
Well, but I just think that the Olympic females make the rest of the American
women
look like tubby.
It's all people, all men and women.
All of our asses look flat. All of our asses look flabby.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm talking to James himself. He would understand.
Well, you must get a complex.
Okay, James. Okay. No, I don't have a...
You must not feel good about yourself.
I feel very good about it. I'm worried about other women besides me.
You criticize the way some teenagers look.
Exactly, Bobby. What you're doing is you're an adult woman, and these are teenage kids, and why would you be threatened by that?
Because the American culture forces
me
to look at the Wheaties box. It makes me look at a Wheaties box.
It should make you look at yourself. Not a Wheaties box.
Are you telling me there's no Wheaties box on TV? Yes, there is.
There's all kinds of stuff on TV. Magazines
and
all kinds of stuff with women in them.
It has the firm bum.
Fitness stuff.
Well, it's got a rock hard bum.
I'll give you a good example.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You want to talk stuff about women being fit? Look at all the Hollywood stars. If they're not a certain weight, they don't get a sign in no movie. They got to be 120 pounds. But these are young kids.
Hollywood stars
are flabby
and ugly, and
I
don't think I've been heard. This man has allowed these to
ugly by what you're saying.
A lot of the Hollywood stars are flabby, messed out, coked out. You know what I mean?
All right, Bobby. The gentleman's point is absolutely right. You're making yourself look bad. All right, James. Thanks for your call, sir. Appreciate it.
You know what? When the male actors and the female actors. If they go into an action-packed movie, they got to go through the same training as They got
to
be in shape.
Are you telling me you just got done saying that you have to go through extra training for a Pat Boone movie? And I don't understand what that means.
He didn't say that.
Because the movie stars, they do earn their money.
So you're saying that a Pat Boone movie, though, means, oh, my God.
He didn't say Pat Boone movie.
No, I said
it sounded like it.
All right. Thank you very much, James, for your call. I appreciate it very much, sir. 877-876-7445. It's a very good series of comments by that gentleman.
Well, Phil, until he got to the very end, which was this comment about...
he never said anything about Pat Boone.
He said something, Phil. He said a lot of them, and the way he was talking, he was saying a lot of them did da-da-da-da-da and a Pat Boone movie. And, of course, I made the logical assumption that he was saying that most women have to get themselves into fit, trim, peak condition, as you would for a Pat Boone movie. And I don't know what that means, and I'm frightened. All right, Mr. Henry?
I don't think he said that, and if you're frightened of what he said, there's something wrong with you. 877-876.
Oh, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, there is. 877-876-7445. Now, your very good friend here, Margaret Gray, is calling back in to comment on this. Margaret, how are you doing?
Well, Bobby, she's not a friend of mine.
I was being facetious.
I know that, Bobby. She's not. You are not a friend of mine, and I don't mean to be catty. I know that, Bobby, and Phil was being facetious. Okay, but, you know, the reason why she's not a friend of mine are the comments she's made on the Tweetster feed. And this woman can't even say Twitter. Bobby, I know I say what I say, and the comments you made on the Tweeter, it's called Twitter, for God's sake. Twitter.
All right. What did you want to say, Ms. Gray?
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Ms. Henry.
Oh my God! Are you taking her side this early?
You've already been on the share once on the show, once before.
You've already been on the show. Don't listen to her, Phil. You're doing a great job.
You've already been on the show once before. What do you have to say?
I want to say this. She was talking about these parents that were burying their heads in their hands. They were feeling bad for their daughter. Daughter. I know what a daughter is. You don't have to express it like I am mentally retarded, even though I know you think I am. No, I don't think you're mentally retarded. I think maybe your husband is. I'm saying...
So what's that supposed to be? Say I'm tarded.
I didn't say tarded. I said retarded. Listen to the stutter. Okay, Fido. So she's calling me a dog.
Every time you two get together, it's the same thing. Why even have the two of you on the air? Now, I could act like the schoolmaster here and put one or the other of you on hold, but I'm waiting for you to behave like adult women with each other. Is that possible?
I have never been spoken to like that before.
Well, I'm speaking to you that way now.
Phil, you're absolutely right.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I guess you have the floor then, Margaret.
No, I didn't say that. You go ahead. No, he was giving me the floor. No,
I don't have anything to say. It's either you or Margaret, or I'll just have to put you on hold, Ms. Dooley.
You wouldn't dare put...
I just put her on hold. Margaret, go ahead.
Thank you, Phil. The parents of that young girl were feeling bad for her. She was the daughter. And I express myself that way, Mr. Henry, because some people need to literally have that word or any word shoved in their ear so they get it. They get it. And this young girl was their daughter, and so they felt bad for her. My God, what was that?
What was that?
I just broke off of hold. Now...
All right, I put her on hold again. Bud?
I don't know anything.
What do you mean she's breaking off a hold?
My God, that was almost animal-like. Did you hear that?
Yes. Did she break off of hold? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, apparently she said.
You keep her on hold. You understand? Break off a hold.
A lot of people know how to do it. Nothing I can do about it.
The hell you can't.
My God, it sounded like something guttural. It sounded like something hellborn. Or hellbound. Either hellborn, hellbound, or exiting hell. You know what I mean? Frank, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
See?
I think I almost want to have Bobby back. Go ahead.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, go ahead. Go get your girlfriend then. Or maybe you should just wait for her to break off hold.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Fine, I'll go ahead. And, you know, I really don't like the way you use that word head, because it has a dual meaning, and I'm a lady.
Well, you go on then and keep talking.
Jeez. Those were people that were feeling bad for their daughter. They were not a bunch of stage parents. They weren't these Little League parents, as you said. They weren't people that were... Oh, my God, the Jamaican one, Frank.
Oh, come on.
Yep, the Jamaican one.
G.D. How about that? Well, she won.
Who?
The Jamaican. The Jamaican won the gold. Oh. Hello?
Will you continue with what you were saying about Ms. Dooley and the Olympic parents?
Yes, well, I did say what I wanted to say. I'm basically saying that... Now, look at here's the Jamaican here. I just broke off of hold. I had to.
All right, I'm hanging up on both of them.
Don't you dare. It'll be a curse. I'll get the black voodoo.
What did she say?
It's going to get voodoo on you.
Yeah, uh-huh. All right, anyway, thank you, Bobby and Steve and Margaret and the rest of you nuts. The world famous... Boy, that Bobby Dooley breaking off a hold, she sounds more badass than Lloyd.
Yeah, well, I'll get him on, see if he'll break off, see what it sounds like.
Go ahead, call Lloyd up and we'll put him on hold and piss him off, see if he can break off a hold.
That's right.
877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, that's Russia. That's not Jamaica, you knucklehead. Advancing to the finals, Phelps, the Russian, and McGill, also an American, a Serbian, a guy from Netherlands, Germany, Poland, Russia, and the Czech Republic. I'm just kidding. I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Way to take the Olympics seriously, Bill.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the World Fendry Show. That's beautiful.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know, but I think we ought to use it. The World Fendry Show. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I came up with one during the pre-show. Philbilly. Not a hillbilly. You're a Philbilly.
Yeah, you can have anybody live in a mountain to listen to your show.
All right, so all of you guys that live in the mountains or live in... You can't just live in the mountains. You have to be living at poverty level in the mountains. If there's anyone who is officially living below the poverty line in the mountains, you're now a Philbilly if you listen to our show. How about that?
Man, are you kidding me, man? Yeah, that ain't going to get you on a Wheaties box.
I ain't looking to get on a Wheaties box. Although everybody is officially a Philbilly. All right, 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. Let's go to, we've got Lloyd on the line. Lloyd, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well. And I'm glad that you had this guy, the guy you got that works for you, the one that has the deficiencies.
Deficiency?
Well, you know what I mean.
You mean Bud, he got brain damage from a motorcycle accident.
Well, you say that, but he sounds to me like he has one of these kids that yells out in the middle of church, you know. Have you ever heard the kid... In church, well, they'll go, hey! Wait, hold on for a minute, Phil. I'll get my wife. Hey, Sandy. Hey, honey. Sandra, what do you call the kids in church?
I know what you're talking about, Lloyd.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah, you know, those poor little kids are autistic or have some other kind of developmental disability.
Okay, well, that's what I thought Mr. Dick did.
My name is Dickman. I don't have no autism, just on account of a motorcycle.
All right, well, okay, I'm sorry, but let me say something to you right now before you two guys get going and I never get a word in. A beautiful thing has just happened on the television here with the Olympic, and my wife, Sandra. Wait, did you see it, honey? Yeah, and a beautiful thing happened, Phil. And
what was that?
All right, hold on. They had the... What is that? What is that, Sandra? My grandson. Stop it, okay? He's pretending now like he's... That is very bad to do.
Don't have that child do that, okay?
Well, he's no longer a child. He's 13.
You got your grandson over there?
Yeah, there's something wrong with that?
No. I just, you know, every night that we have a guest, there's always something going on. You know, and, Bud, I guess...
Yeah, you ought to get this guy, Bud Dick to...
My name is Dick, but not Bud Dick. What's your name, Lloyd Dope? Lloyd Dopey?
What are you? Are you trying to be cute? Because if you're trying to be cute, I can assure you, you are not cute. There isn't anything cute about you. You're not even the least bit cuddly. And
okay. So can we move on here?
I'm sorry, but yeah, my grandson's here. He's 13. He's an adolescent, you know. Oh, come on, Scott. Stop that now.
What's he doing?
Well, when I said autistic, now he's acting like an ass. And, you know, I'll send you home to your mother. Sorry, Grandpa. Okay. He's a good kid.
Yeah, don't have him do that because it's disrespectful, number one. It's interfering with our conversation. So I'm excited to know. What happened?
Well, you saw it. All of America saw it. A young lady won the gymnastic competition, the individual, and when they had the medal award ceremony, award, you know, ceremony, banquet, ceremony, I don't know what you call it,
It's the award ceremony.
Is that what it is?
Or the medal ceremony, bud?
Yeah, it's called medal.
What is that?
This called a medal ceremony.
I can't understand him for love of money. Get away from me, Scott. He came up behind me and started pulling on my pants.
You must have some kind of a pro. This kid, I'm telling you, would you stop him from doing that?
Scott, listen, this is Grandpa talking. You do it again, and I'll do to you what I did to so many Chinese. And you know...
No, Grandpa.
Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, I told him about my Korean War experience, and it's been, you know, a lot of years, but I can still remember every detail of what we used to call... we called it the Alhambra on-ramp. And
what's that?
Well, don't worry about it.
Well, what was it?
It was a way we dealt with Chinese.
The Alhambra on-ramp.
That's right. Don't worry about it. Now, you want the on-ramp or don't you? All right, then watch it.
Oh, God. All right.
Well, what are you going to do, throw up?
Will you just get to the point, please?
You called me, for God's sake.
All right, please. We wanted to know what you thought of the Olympics thus far.
Yes, and I'm trying to tell you. What happened, Sandra? Oh, yeah. The young lady who won the gymnastic medal, and when they had the gold medal ceremony, there it was, the sweetest sight for these tired old eyes, an American standing, getting the gold, and flanking her on either side a couple of Russians. Oh! Oh! God, I gotta tell you, Phil. All right, I'm gonna kick his ass.
Put him on hold, will
you? Now, don't you put me on hold.
Okay, now we're gonna find out.
Yeah, Stevie breaks off.
Yeah, this is gonna be good, man.
All right, shut up, bud. Shut up, bud. We're not having a party here. We're just testing to see if he can break off hold, okay?
Ow!
Mr. Henry told you to shut up.
Oh, it's Mr. Henry now, huh?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
You're always letting him get away with everything.
Because he's not a motor mouth like you. 877-876-7445. We're waiting to see if Lloyd breaks off of hold, because he was one of the first...
There, I broke off a hold.
Oh, my God, did that sound...
Bam.
What are you talking about?
Well, we were kind of waiting for you to break off of hold, and it didn't sound anywhere near as butch as when Bobby Dooley did.
What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me that she... Are you trying to say to me... What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say. I'm saying it very well. You don't sound as manly as she did breaking off of hold.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're trying to say something, too. Or is that it?
That's it. I'm not trying to say anything else. Here, I'll play the recording back. Here's you breaking off a hold. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Now, we'll see what he sounds like breaking off a hold.
Yee! I broke off of hold.
There you go.
Oh, bull crap. I didn't sound like that.
Yes, Phil, you did.
And... No, I didn't.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows, they don't even dare. They don't even dare. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman is here. Robert Leonard is here. I would like to give you a little bit of, we're going to do some what we call house cleeping. House cleeping?
Yeah, house keening.
House keening or house cleeping. And,
What?
I've mixed up the words, bud. God.
Yeah, man, you gotta pick up on it, man.
Oh, yeah, I gotta pick up on it. Did you pick up on it? Like the other day.
You knock it off. I'm starting the hour. I don't need to hear your life story here. In any event, welcome back to the show. Now, we are going to be giving away a free year of Backstage Pass gloriousness on our website. And here's all you have to do to win a free year of backstage access to the Phil Henry website. And that would mean thousands and thousands of hours of archived full radio shows going back over a decade. That means our video archive, our Phil TV archive. That means archived video of other shows we did, past generations of the Phil Henry Show, other TV interviews, TV pilots, radio interviews, radio pilots, airline pilot, you know, whatever.
What do you mean airline pilot?
I'm joking. Anyway, it's all there in our comments section and, access to me. You can talk to me. And just, you know, find out how marvelous it is to be in the broadcasting business. Yeah, sure. Anyway, you can do that by two things. Hashtag BSP. That stands for Backstage Pass. You hashtag BSP at Phil Henry Show at Twitter. So it's twitter.com/Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. Or you friend us over there at Facebook. Facebook.com/Phil Henry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. We will draw from all of those friends and all of those hashtags, and we'll give away a free year. And I think we're going to do that every month or so. We'll have something different, you know.
Yeah, you can't be giving away a free year every month, man. You go broke.
Broke? It's not going to make us go broke. I could give a free year away every month for the rest of eternity. We ain't going to go broke.
Really?
Yeah. What the hell do you think, man? I'm running up and up.
Well said.
Thank you. I was going to say, you think I'm operating on a shoestring? Don't answer that question. All right. 877-876-7445, the News and Information Hour. And let's get a little bit of the Olympic flavor and feel and specialness out of the way here. Michael Phelps might be one day from retirement, but it's still his time. Phelps, the old master, vanquished. Ryan Luck one last time Thursday. Tyler Clary for so long, the understudy to the two headline acts in American swimming, whipped Luck too. This left him 0-for-2 in gold medals, Ryan, and on Thursday, 2-for-6 in London. New Americans conditioned by Phelps' 8-for-8 golden run in Beijing. Luck's oft-repeated, "This is my time" proclamation apparently fell awfully short. And, of course, it sounded very hollow. I don't know that this is the time for you jive-ass writers. Is this the LA Times? I don't know if this is the time to be pitting personality against personality. This is an American team, you know? And this guy writing for the Times, some guy by the name of Slob, Bill Slob.
That his name?
No, but, he's turning this into some kind of a competitive thing. I just don't think this is the time for that, man. You know, you feel bad for the guy. Maybe he shouldn't have sounded off, but then, we've all had that problem from time to time. So Locke said later, yeah, I wanted to get all gold in my events. It didn't happen. I'm going to have to live with that. Phelps increased his Olympic record medal count to 20 by winning gold in the 200-meter individual medley, becoming the first male swimmer to win an event in three consecutive Olympics. It's pretty cool and pretty special to three-peat, said Phelps, who had won with a time of 1 minute 54.27 seconds. It's cool to add that to the resume. Locke took silver in the 200 individual medley and bronze in the 200 backstroke behind Clary and Japan's Iri. Not only did Clary win his first Olympic medal, but he also set an Olympic record with a time of 1 minute 53 seconds and 40, whatever the hell it is, 41 to 100.
How do you know that's not 1 hour?
How do I know that's 1 hour?
No, he said not 1 hour.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Are you stupid or something, man? What swimming event going to take an hour?
You don't know. Yes, I do know. I can pretty much count that 100 meters or whatever this was ain't going to be an hour.
Yeah, but you don't know the distance.
Even if... Bud, there's no swimming event that takes an hour, man. It's like a minute or something.
They don't have no marathon? They ought to have a marathon. What about a triathlon?
Triathlon's a whole different thing, okay? I don't know what the hell. A triathlon's got a 2-mile swim, is that it?
No, man, that ain't no 2-mile swim, is it?
I think so. I think to be a triathlon, I think it has to be a 26-mile run. Am I right? No. Take it back. It's got to be a 10K. It's got to be a 26-mile bike ride. I mean, an Ironman. An Ironman triathlon.
What's the difference?
Well, they got all kinds of triathlons, okay? They got all kinds. It's the three events are supposed to be swimming, running, and cycling. At least that's what I thought. I don't know anything about it, but... I believe the Ironman, which the original was in Hawaii, and I guess they still have the Ironman over there in Hawaii, right?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't think they call all of them call Ironman.
Well, I don't know what they call them, man, but for a real, like, the real big-time world record in the triathlon is swimming, biking, and running.
How far you got to swim?
Well, I want to say, I thought it was 2 miles. I agree with you, Robert. That's a long damn swim, you know.
Yeah, you got to do it in the ocean. No, you don't.
Yeah, they do, man. You got to do it in the ocean. You do. You got to do it in the ocean, bud. It's an ocean swim.
Well, that's impossible.
No, it's not impossible. Why is it impossible?
You just swim a mile out and then a mile back.
No, you don't swim a mile out. They give you a course, you clown. You got to go out and hit some buoys. You're out there, man, for 2 miles. That's all I can tell you. You're not going straight out a mile and then coming back.
Yeah, get a shark or something.
No, bud. No, okay?
You think they're going to send a guy out there a mile out and he got to eat by a shark? They could.
Well, they didn't. They could, but there's a lot of things they could do, and they're not doing that. They don't send a guy 1 mile straight out to get eaten by a shark.
Because you'd be weakened by then, and the shark would go, let me see what it tastes like.
Yeah, sharks don't like what we taste like either, you know?
You don't know that.
See, Bud's... I love this, man. He's afraid of sharks.
Yeah, ha-ha. You afraid of sharks, man? Yeah, most people are afraid of sharks. Man, what a chicken.
Now, look, sharks don't eat people.
Really? Tell that to the people they've already eaten.
God, are you a knuckle-eated. Look.
You call me a knuckle?
I'm calling you a knucklehead. I got interrupted by that eated word. Sharks mistake human beings for something that they do like, which is often a big, fat, juicy sea lion or a seal, something like that, okay?
How do you do that?
By seeing us on, surfboards, okay?
Yeah, if you're on a surfboard, man, you don't look like no sea lion.
Well, whatever they look like, we look like a big turtle. If you look up at a human being laying on a boogie board or on any kind of a bodyboard or a surfboard, you know, it looks like a tortoise.
Yeah, that's if we look... you think a tortoise look like a tortoise to a shark the way it look like to us?
Does a tortoise look like a... Say that again?
Do a tortoise look like a tortoise? Yeah, does a shark have the same kind of eyeballs that we got?
No, a shark doesn't have the same kind of eyeballs that we got. What is your point?
Well, how do you know a tortoise... Maybe a tortoise to what look like a tortoise to us, maybe it looks like a bird to them.
A bird? No, bud. Listen... We have heard from marine biologists and people that know, zoologists, marine biologists, who tell us that sharks mistake human beings oftentimes for other prey that they enjoy, whether it is, sea lions, turtles, that kind of stuff, okay? Human beings, they don't eat, man. Sharks don't go, really tastes good, I think I'll eat the whole human. There's very rarely do we ever hear about a human being found... You know.
What about in Jaws?
I knew you'd bring up Jaws.
Man, that was a movie. Yeah, but they ate that one girl.
I knew you'd bring that up, man. Jaws is a flick, man. It's not a real story, okay?
Yeah, what about the girl he ate?
They ate?
The Jaws sharks.
They didn't eat anybody, man. It was a story. It was a script. It was a book written by Peter Benchley that was adapted for a movie. It was a screenplay. And it's a fictitious story, man. That girl in that movie never existed. No shark that we know of. You know, I'm sure human beings have been decimated very badly by sharks, especially if it's a great white shark. But it isn't because... how come if that shark is so big and so hungry that he left part of that girl?
Well, he was full. Yeah, full, man. Are you kidding me, man? The shark got a stomach. He did all of it. Yeah, he might have just ate.
Yeah, that's it, bud. Just go ahead and keep applying human characteristics to a shark. He was full, or he just ate.
You don't know.
I do know. That's the whole thing I'm trying to tell you. Yes, I do know. You have to listen to me. Me not have to listen you. Me no listen you. You listen me.
Yeah, speaking in your language. Yeah, it's more like your language. Sounds like Swahili. Ow!
That's it.
Ow! Ow! You let him hit me.
That's right. I'm letting him hit you.
Shut up, man. That hurt.
I hope it hurt. God, what a... You know... Just be quiet, man, when I'm talking. Be quiet. We were talking about the triathlon. I was talking about Michael Phelps kicking ass and winning gold and doing the do and the funky chicken too, and that cat, he did it, man. And I don't think it's any time to be writing about how this guy didn't come up, aces on his prediction, and he said he was going to win the gold, and he didn't. Keep all that jive-ass TMZ stuff to yourself there, Bill Sloblike from the LA Times. All right. We'll be right back here with more of our Olympic coverage, all of our sumptuous, fantastic, on the spot. Oh, man, look at the line around the block at Chick-fil-A. Look at that.
Man, that's happening right now?
I don't know if that's happening right now, but there is a line around the Chick-fil-A on Channel 4. We're going to look and see where this is. It's nighttime. I don't see a live, I don't see any live logo there. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, so I got the information here, and in case you were wondering, Bud, the Ironman Triathlon, the World Triathlon Commission, or whatever it is that sets the standard, and this is what is run every year in Hawaii, at the Ironman and any other triathlon that considers itself to be a big-time triathlon, here it is. It's a swim, it's a bike ride, and it's a run.
Yeah, I was right about that. So, we got to talk about the distance.
We're talking about distances. The swim, 2.4 miles.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, man, it didn't longer than 2 miles.
It's longer than 2 miles. The swim is 2.4 miles. Get a load of this now. The bike ride, am I right about this? The bike ride is 112 miles.
No way.
Yes, it is. Yes way. 112 miles.
Hawaii's not even that big. Where? How are you going to do that?
Go around in a circle, man. Are you that dumb, Bud? I can't believe that.
What?
Hawaii's not that big. I mean, how big? You know, they can go around in a circle.
Well, yeah.
You could take, if you're on the big island of Hawaii, you go around Hawaii, the big island of Hawaii, I don't know how many times you got 112 miles.
How many times is that?
I don't know, man.
I ain't asking you. Ask Mr. Henry.
I'm going to belt you in about 5 seconds, man. I don't know how many times it is. Go around your head, man. It would take forever. You've got such a pea brain in there.
Ha, 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 ha. Yeah.
Anyway, and then the run. So the bike ride. So where were we? The swim is 2.4 miles. The bike ride is 112 miles. And the run is 26.2 miles. That, which is a big time marathon run, I think. So there you have it. And so the Ironman, I guess in a lot of ways, it takes the extremes of any one of those sports. And I don't know of any swimming event that's a 2.4-mile event, but you were asking, Bud, so there it is. But I cannot imagine that even that takes hours. It has to take minutes.
Well, how long do you figure it is?
Well, we could look it up. I don't know. But I can't imagine that any guy that's a serious triathlete is going to take hours to complete a 2.4-mile swim. It ain't gonna happen, okay? These guys are in great shape. These guys are in great shape, man. And they train for years. And, you know, I told you, I interviewed two guys that did something that I've, to me, this is incredible only because of the sleep deprivation. And it's the thing called the RAM, the Race Across America. You can look it up online. They have a website. It's been around almost 30 years now. I think they're probably hitting their 30th year, maybe the 32nd year of the RAM. It's a race that used to go, I don't know where they go now. I'm pretty sure it's probably from the same basic places, from New York to Los Angeles. But I think at one point it was from the pier in Jersey. There was a Atlantic City start, and it wound up in Santa Monica. Maybe it goes pier to pier, something like that. Now, this is across the country.
How long does that take?
It is days. The original RAM, I think the record was somewhere in the neighborhood of 5-6 days.
On a bicycle?
Yes. Okay. But just listen to this. And I don't know what the record is now, but I think it was in that neighborhood when I first talked to John Howard and Michael Shermer. Now, you know, the challenge of the race is the sleep deprivation, because you've got if you're a fully sponsored rider, you have a what's called a sag wagon. You have some kind of like a Winnebago or something like that. Why am I drawing a blank on those?
Like an SUV?
Not an SUV, but you know what I'm saying. It's like a Winnebago. You've got a big motorhome. And in it are all of the parts you need for repair. You've got inner tubes, you've got tires, you have a bike mechanic. You maybe probably got a couple of them. You probably got a couple of bikes, although I don't know what the rules are. The rules may specify that you have to remain with the same basic frame. And you also have food, okay? But in order to complete this race and win it, you're sleeping maybe 20 minutes a day.
Are you kidding me, man? How do they keep them passing out?
Your legs start hallucinating.
That's exactly what they did do. I was talking to Shermer, and Michael Shermer, I think, is a psychologist and was at that time when he was in the race. And I believe he was even doing a study on sleep deprivation. He said that when he was out there in the desert, man, and he had gone for days without, with maybe 20 minutes of sleep a night, he was seeing things, you know.
What was he looking at?
Well, he's looking at, like, the cactuses are turning into things, the mountains are turning into things. He's seeing birds that aren't there. He was, like, literally hallucinating because his brain was deprived, you know, of REM sleep. And that's probably the biggest challenge. And Howard told me that when he finished the race, and he won, that 3 years later, when I interviewed him, he said, I'm still, to this day, I'm still tired, and I still take naps where I didn't used to. Now, this is a guy that was in his 30s, so he's not a terribly old guy at the time, you know.
Man, I don't know how I'm going to do it on 20 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, and I said to him, you know, I guess you need to. A lot of what happens is you can close your eyes, and I know people like this who work late hours, and they work days that go into the night. And some people can close their eyes for 2 or 3 minutes and get just enough REM sleep to keep them going.
Then you were talking about you did that?
I can I do cat naps. I can grab a 15-minute or 20-minute nap, and I'll wake up feeling great, man. It's just that much of that REM sleep, which stands for rapid eye movement, bud, because I can see you squinching your face.
What about REM?
That's the band is, yeah, that's the same thing.
They named themselves after the eye movement?
I guess.
That's retarded.
Yeah.
Okay, enough with the retarded stuff, all right?
Well, it still sounds kind of retarded.
Fine. I'm not even talking about REM. I'm talking about REM sleep. So nonetheless, there's some people that can actually do that, and I happen to be one of them. Thank you. All right, we're going to get back here with more of our Olympic coverage. I believe we are going to get a report or two from Dr. Ron Tarner, who was in London and has returned home. He was there for the opening ceremonies. We'll talk to Dr. Tarner here in a moment. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour. There's a Mars landing that is going to be taking place. I don't know if anybody is interested, but the NASA's Mars Science Laboratory and its Curiosity rover are set to land shortly after 1 a.m. on Monday Eastern Time. That would be 10 p.m. Sunday night. The Mars Science Laboratory and the Curiosity rover are going to land on the stinking red planet, baby.
Wow, that's another one we put up there.
Yeah, we're landing them on Mars left and right. The scientific return promises to be profound, but there is one thing Curiosity won't be looking for: little green men, or even tiny microbes for that matter. The $2.5 billion expedition is not a life detection mission. The lab's instruments are the most sophisticated in the history of planetary space exploration, but they couldn't distinguish pebbles from protozoans. Curiosity is not set to detect life directly, said Stephen Lee, deputy manager of the Mars Science Laboratory. Which, by the way, this is more and more what the future of space travel is going to be. Robot ships and a private company here in California recently delivered supplies to the International Space Station. A private company with a private vehicle that they funded themselves, launched themselves, and tracked themselves. And it was essentially a robot ship, one that was grabbed by the space station crew and its cargo offloaded. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our news and information hour, Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us. Just returned to, I guess he's in New York right now, and Dr. Tarner had been in London for the opening ceremonies of the the Olympics there in London. Ron, how are you? It's good to talk with you.
Well, Phil, I'm doing very well. Thank you for putting me on the air here from New York. And looking forward, we're on our way back home to Denver, Colorado, as you know.
All right, and you were at the opening ceremonies?
No, what happened was we had been scheduled to be at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and I had come down. I was coming down the whatever you call it, the esplanade there in the stadium, at the Olympic Stadium, and I had approaching my seat, and I saw Hawking not only sitting where I was supposed to sit, but that electrified that wheelchair, that hover around, whoever he had to deal with was taking up his seat, so we left. And I went back to the hotel and watched it there.
You missed the opening ceremonies?
I missed the opening ceremonies. I'm not going to sit next to him. And that was...
Why not?
Well, as you know...
I mean, I know you've got a problem with Hawking, but why can't you, you know...
No, it's not why can't I anything. I'm not going to sit next to that degenerate. It's just as simple as that.
I'm that's very unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. I know that you've got a problem with him. I don't know. I know that you've mentioned...
I've been on your program and described it.
I know, and I don't doubt you, but you say he's writing racist jokes and telling dirty jokes.
Yes, absolutely. I think the worst of all is the number of women that when we came down, and I was there with my son, and I hadn't taken my fiance with me. I was there with my son, but.
What is her name again?
You know what? This is going to sound terrible. I can't remember the name of my own fiancé, and I think it's because of the shock that I've been through going to London, taking Josh down to the stadium to see the opening ceremony, seeing Hawking sitting there with another one of his women, one of I don't know how many women I've seen him with, and that was also my main concern. And I wish they would turn that song off. I'm having dinner tonight with Ruby Foos, and one of the guys thinks he's funny playing Return of the Mac. So
I don't understand that Return of the Mac.
Well, he's playing it because he knew that Hawking. It's a Hawking song. Those of us in the scientific community.
All right, Ron Tarner with us. So you guys are having dinner, and I'm awfully sorry that you did not see the opening ceremony.
Well, you know, I talked to Josh about it, and I said, Josh, do you want to see the opening ceremony, or do you want to sit next to a degenerate? And he said, I'd rather just go back to the hotel, Dad, if that's what you want to do. And I said, you're a great boy. And
sit next to it. So you described Dr. Stephen Hawking as a degenerate to your son.
You know what, Phil? Don't get like that, okay?
That's what you did?
Yes, I did, and the reason why I did is because my boy needs to understand where I'm coming from. I don't tell my son to think the way that I do. What are they doing now, Jerry? Why do they ride bicycles that look asinine?
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at. Are you not seeing the Olympics?
Yeah, I'm looking at the bike riding.
Yeah, these bikes they're on look absolutely asinine. I wouldn't be caught. I wouldn't ride one of those if it was the only way I could get to see my son. If my wife, my ex-wife, took him and moved to Florida, and they said the only way you could get to see your son is riding one of those bikes, Josh would never see his father again. That's how stupid they look. And that's how upset I am tonight.
I'm sorry to hear that you're upset. Dr. Ron Tarner with us. All right, so you were not able to see the opening ceremonies. Did you see any of the events?
I saw a little bit of the swimming. Excuse me, I saw a little bit of the swimming. Thank God they turned that song off.
What is it, the Return of the Mac?
Yeah, so one of the guys put it on to get me angry.
Why does Return of the Mac make you angry? That's about Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yeah, it's even a... Who's the kid that's yelling? There's a kid that's yelling. Yeah, it's the Stephen Hawking song that is... everybody knows. And look at it, he put it back on. Hey, Randy? Randy, just 1 second, Phil, and I know the people...
Yeah, go ahead, man, you know.
I'm sorry, Randy, you're a degenerate. No, I'm not kidding. You are a degenerate because you're playing this song. Randy,
Who is Randy?
Hold on. Yeah, Dr. Edwards. Randy Edwards, you know, the endocrinologist?
No, I don't know Randy Edwards, the endocrinologist.
Randy, you're a degenerate. You're a sick degenerate. Playing this song, you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, Phil, we were not able to see any of the elite. I saw a little bit of the swimming. I saw a little bit of the water polo. But I just got sick right away. I didn't want to stay because I knew Hawking was probably going to show up.
Well, I had no idea that the antipathy, I think, is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Existed between you to such an extent that you can't even be sitting in the same row of seats with him. Can you enlighten us a little bit? This had to do with him writing Polish jokes?
That is, yes. My family is Polish on my mother's side. When I got to Cloverdale Observatory, and I went to work for the Cloverdale Observatory, they were passing around emails that Hawking had been sending of these, quote, Polak jokes, end quote, that he'd written. And everyone's getting the back slapping, and they think it's a riot. And we have this annual entertainment, a talent show, where Hawking gets up and does, and I say gets up, he rolls up, and because you don't do stand-up when you're in an electric cart. You know that, Phil, right?
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, the reason why I'm saying is because so Hawking gets up there, and he electronically bleats out these jokes, and everyone's laughing themselves until they urinate. And I couldn't understand this. I thought it was absolutely the most disingenuous display I'd ever seen. It's not funny when you're listening to a guy.
So he's up there speaking with an electronic voice.
Yes, he's speaking with an electronic. This is what it sounds like. And now here comes Stephen Hawking with his, comedy act. Because we all get up and do our thing. So all you hear is this. And then.
Thank you. I'm glad to be.
Josh, you know how to do it. Do it. This is my son, Josh. He's going to do this. Do the Stephen Hawking voice.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm David Hawking. How many Polaks does it take to change a light bulb?
Don't tell the rest. Don't give it away.
Don't give it away.
Well,
like I haven't heard that one.
All right. So you travel in the same degenerate circles that he does.
No, I don't travel in the same circles that Stephen Hawking travels in. I don't travel in the same circles.
Well, that's what it says. Am I right, Josh, or am I wrong? Yeah, Josh was there. And
so this happened when?
What happened?
When he told these Polish jokes.
At Cloverdale when I first went to work there. You listening to me?
All right, I'm sorry.
All right. So that's why, and he kept doing it. So that's why when I saw that guy in the, in the seats there at the stadium, I just said, Josh, let's put a whole lot of mileage between ourselves and that guy in the electronic chair. And we did. I laid down a lot of track before nightfall, and we found ourselves back in New York, resting comfortably here in Times Square. We came down to Ruby Foos to have something to eat, and some smartass, this guy Edwards, I'm pretty sure, put on the Return of the Mac. So it just doesn't end.
Are these guys are all aware of the fact that you've got a problem?
Hold on. Randy, come here for a minute. Hey, here's Randy Edwards.
No, hold on. But these guys are aware they got a problem with Dr. Hawking?
Oh, yeah. They know. Hey, come here for a minute. Talk to this guy, Phil Henry, okay? I got to go to the bathroom. Okay. All right. Phil, I got to hit the can. I got to squeeze one off.
Oh, that's just great.
I'm sorry. Here. Oh, hi.
Hi, Dr. Edwards?
Hi.
And how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good.
And so you put this song on, huh?
Oh, yeah. And what, you know, it
drives him nuts, huh?
Oh yeah, something.
So, sir, forgive me for throwing you on the air like this. Were you in London?
Oh no.
You didn't go to London.
No.
Are you there for? Is there some kind of a meeting of scientists or something?
Oh no, I'm.
You work in London? Work in New York?
No, not London.
No, but in New York.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, and so you saw Dr. Tarner there and decided to say hello?
Oh, well, you know.
Put the song on.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
All right.
Give me the phone, will you? Get out of here. Okay, I'm back.
And by the way, they need toilet paper in there. Hold it, Phil. I'm sorry. Here, Randy, come here for a minute. I'm sorry, Phil. One more minute.
Oh, God. Come on, will you?
One more minute. Hold on. Here, Randy.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, okay. He's... What is he doing?
Oh, he's over. He's just...
Hey, you know what? Give me the phone. Hey, John, I'm sorry. You're going to need a plunger in the bathroom? Yeah. I'm sorry, John. I'm awfully sorry. I just used it. Yeah, believe me, I tried and I couldn't. Yeah, you're gonna need a plunger. You probably will need. You gotta get a bigger. Yeah, maybe the snaker. I'm sorry, Phil. I had to talk to the manager here. Their food is fantastic, but I went in to use the toilet.
No, I can. I know what happened. Thanks to Dr. Edwards there.
Hey, Randy. Thanks a lot.
Oh yeah.
You did a good job.
Oh okay.
He doesn't say much, does he?
Who? Randy?
Yeah.
You never shut him up. You can never shut him up. Why?
Well, he didn't say anything to me.
He didn't say anything to you. That guy is a motor mouth. He never shuts up. He never shuts up. That's why I know, and probably half the guys here know, that he slept with at least three of our wives. Not mine. Thank God, or maybe not. I don't know. But he never shuts up.
Okay, my mind is blown here, man. You got Return of the Mac playing, and you got a toilet that's plugged up, and you got a guy that never shuts up.
Well, Phil, this is life. This is the grand parade of life.
Yeah, I understand, and you got a problem with Hawking, and you flew out of London to put as many miles as you could between you and that guy in the electric chair, the guy who, by the way...
I didn't say electric chair. That's something you kill somebody in.
Well, whatever you said.
The little hoveround.
Okay. And I don't know what else we've learned here tonight, but it's been great talking to you, Dr. Turner. I got to take a break, okay?
All right, well, you take your break, but, hey, John, come here. Hold on, come here for a minute. That's not going to work. Hold on, Phil. I want to say goodnight properly, okay?
Go ahead.
That's not going to work. That's not a big enough plunger. No, you got to get a big plunger. I stopped it up. Huh? I don't know how, eating your garlic bread. How do you think I did it? You need a big plunger, a really big one. Get serious, will you? You imagine this guy, he's got that little toy, one of them little ones.
That's great. See you later, Ron.
Well, Phil.
All right, there's Dr. Ron Turner, and that was fascinating. They're from Ruby Foods, just up from Times Square in New York, just back from London. He was supposed to see the opening ceremonies, but he did not because he saw Dr. Ron Turner sitting in the same row. So he decided to him and his son to leave, and that meant go all the way back to New York. And which is where they are now. He's just blocked up a toilet. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I didn't ask Dr. Turner about, and I don't want to ask Dr. Turner about the Mars landing. I got enough of that guy to last me another month before we have him on again.
Well, I thought Buddy said it was pretty interesting.
I don't know what he said that wasn't. I mean, it was interesting to hear how just petty some of these guys are. They got ego problems in the scientific community just like it's Hollywood, you know?
Yeah, I bet they do, man. If they had Academy Awards out of science...
They do have the Academy Awards of Science.
What?
The Nobel Prize, man.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's pretty much like it.
The Nobel Prize is the Academy Awards of Science. Although you can also win a Nobel Prize for peace, you know.
Yeah, what about, like, books?
Yeah, literature. But chemistry, physics, all that stuff, that is the Academy Awards of Science. And these cats, you know, they compete for it, man, because it means money. It's like everything else. You win an Academy Award... And it gives it gives a little bit of style, and it gives, I don't know, some currency to the movie that you're in. Well, you know, our movie won an Academy Award. You know, we have the best this, best that. Same thing with a scientist, you know.
Yeah, well, you probably want to, like, if you are going to land on Mars, you want to have a Nobel Prize winning Mars man, you know.
Yeah, do they have a Mars scientist? That'd be the guy I'd take.
A Mars scientist? You mean like a...
What do they call it?
Well, I mean, it would be an astrophysicist. It could be an astronomer.
That's what Dr. Turner is, right?
Yes, Dr. Turner's an astronomer. But if I wanted to land on Mars, I don't know. You would want to get the best group together. There's no question about that. Guys, I hate to break the news. I don't think we're going to have a manned mission to Mars for another 10 years minimum, you know?
Well, they probably want to make sure that there's no life. And I know that there probably is no life anyway, but
they'll make sure about it.
Guys, there's no life that is going to threaten a human being. You understand? There's.
Yeah, but are they sure?
Yes, they're sure. There's no life on Mars that will threaten a human being. There may be microbial life.
What's that?
Like little tiny microbes, like bacteria. It could be that kind of life. There maybe they thought at one time there could possibly be primitive life like moss or very, very primitive vegetable matter like that. But there's nothing even there's no intelligent life in our solar system, and whatever intelligent life there may be, and I say maybe, I underline that.
Yeah, you don't even think there is, do you?
Look, I don't think, I subscribe to Dr. Carl Sagan's whole theory where he said, he broke it down mathematically. He said that there's a much less likelihood of intelligent life in our galaxy than we think. Because intelligent life has to do a number of things, at least intelligent life that is equal to us, if not greater. It has to, among the many things it has to do, is it has to survive its own ability to kill itself, which we are right now in that phase of our development as intelligent beings. We are in that phase of we have the ability to kill ourselves, not just with nuclear weapons and all that jazz, but with our mismanagement of the actual planet itself. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. I have a great faith in the human race, but we could. There's nothing that says that, you know, we're here forever. But I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, but what about like, are we ever going to meet them and stuff?
Yeah, if they get a warp coil.
Oh, well, you get out of here with the warp coil again. There you go again, man.
Yeah, that's all Star Trek, though, man.
Yeah, but what about if they might be able to?
Maybe they will. I don't know, man. What do you mean a warp coil? I don't even know what the hell that is, man. I don't even know that's possible, you know?
That's the way that you can travel in a space.
That's the way that you can travel into space?
Yeah, I mean, on the speed of what?
Speed of light.
Speed of light, huh? Look, bud, I don't know, man. I doubt it, you know?
According to that movie, they'd have the warp coil by, what'd the man say?
Yeah, by 20-something.
Well, get out of here with the warp coil by 20-something. What movie?
The one, I forget which one.
Yeah, in the movie, they had, like, the guy that invented a warp coil.
What movie is that? Final Frontier? Was that it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Well, I think they're full of crap on that one, man.
Yeah, and that's when a Vulcan landed.
No, man, we're dreaming. We got all these freaking dreams about the future. We're here on our own, baby. We're here on our own, and we're going to have to work it out on our own, and there ain't no Vulcans that are going to land and go, hey, all, you know, hail Caesar, you know. It ain't going to happen, man. You know, I'm sure that the movie is very uplifting, and that's why you make movies. You want people to feel good. But we're not going to find any freaking warp coil, Jack, and there ain't going to be no Vulcan landing.
You don't know for sure.
I'm willing to bet you. I wish I could live another 100 years, man, just to see the look in your dumb faces when there wasn't any Vulcan landing.
Yeah, what if there? I'd love to see the look on your dumb face if a Vulcan landed and a Klinger.
Yeah.
And a Klinger.
What's it called?
A Klingon.
Yeah, you just... No, a Klingon is what... Well, I shouldn't say, but you need to have toilet paper for...
Will you shut up? A Klingon. All right, in any event, thank you very much, Bud, and you too, Robert, and oh, God. All right, tomorrow, we're back at it, baby. Don't forget to join us online at philhenryshow.com. You do that with a backstage pass to our marvelous website, PhilTV in HD, airing every single solitary stinking night. We want to remind you to hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. Hashtag BSP at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. And get in the running for a free year, baby, of a backstage pass from the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our show, as you may or may not know, is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And we certainly do welcome you online at philhendryshow.com. Also, our podcast has dropped, baby, for Thursday, and we got another podcast coming up tomorrow, episode 26. So head to the podcast banner. You can also get it at iTunes, Podcast Directory, and other fine neighborhood stores. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you. Good night.
Yeah, later on.
Phil Hendry.